Greetings to all of you who have joined us. I am deeply impressed with the cross-section of catechists represented among you. The new General Directory for Catechesis is a remarkable document. It comes, of course, on the heels of two previous General Directories for Catechesis, one in 1971, followed upon the Second Vatican Council and sought to implement that council in the catechesis that would be offered in the church. The second was in 1997, after the publication of the Catechism of the Catholic Church. A great deal of experimentation had gone on in catechesis. It was important to bring catechesis back to doctrinal soundness and completeness. This new directory has an evangelizing focus, and it comes out of a new situation. First of all, we live in a globalized culture now. The church has moved into every culture throughout the world, and many different cultures are present in the local church, the local diocese, local parishes. Moreover, we've moved into a world of digital learning. This has a significant impact on the way catechesis may be engaged in. And unfortunately, we also have to recognize the fact there are many baptized Catholics who are leaving the church. So we need to be evangelizing in the way we go about catechesis. Paul VI called us to this, John Paul II, Benedict XVI, and now in a special way, Pope Francis. His opening apostolic exhortation, The Joy of the Gospel, has an impact on this general directory, as well as the synods that have taken place under his pontificate. Synods on the Eucharist, on the Word of God, on marriage, on family, on youth. I would like to focus on three points. One, in the 1997 directory, one chapter was given to locating catechesis within the work of evangelization. In this document, evangelization pervades the whole message. We need to begin by announcing the good news. Despite all the sin and chaos we experience, God has entered the world. The kingdom of God has come. He invites us to an encounter with the Lord Jesus that transforms us, leads us to conversion and to new life in Him. And this announcement of what we often call the kerygma needs to be represented over and over again in catechesis. This initial announcement of the gospel should lead then to opening up the whole Word of God, leading people to listen to and be transformed by the living Word of God. The living Word of God then leads to sacramental encounter, incorporation in the life of the church, sacramental encounter with the Lord means incorporation in the life of the church, deepening life in the church, engaging in the life of the church, becoming a missionary in the life of the church. And obviously, as we move through life, we need to continue to expose ourselves to God's living word, to his teaching as handed on, transmitted in his church. so that we can grow and develop in accordance with age and wisdom. This is why this new directory encourages focus on the catechumenate process, not duplicating it, not replicating it in a rigid fashion, but recognizing that the steps of the catechumenate are the steps of all catechesis. My second point is that the approach to an evangelizing catechesis means leading people to meet the Lord, to be changed by the Lord, to become new persons because of the encounter with the Lord, and to deepen that relationship as life unfolds. Traditionally, in the church, we have always recognized three fundamental paths to God: the path of truth, the path of goodness, the path of beauty. Path of truth, of course, is extraordinarily important, but sometimes today becomes problematic if we just focus on presenting systematically the content of Christian revelation, the content of the Catechism of the Catholic Church. We may not be meeting people where they are. And so it's important to begin with their questions, not to ignore the ultimate systematic unfolding of the faith, but begin with their questions, fundamental questions. Does God exist? What kind of a God is he? Questions that revolve around the relationship between faith and science, or the biotechnological issues of today, or some people turned off by the sex abuse scandal, or find the teaching of the church on human sexuality to be outmoded. Wherever they are, if we begin with their questions, we can move to breaking open the truth. And this goodness, of course, the path of goodness holds up examples of goodness, witnesses to goodness, saints. The directory itself begins holding up the example of Bishop Toribio, the first bishop of Lima, Peru. Saint Toribio wrote a catechism in Spanish, a catechism in Aymara, and a catechism in Quechua, so as to reach the native peoples with whom he was living and whom he was serving. The third path is the third of beauty. And maybe today, as the directory suggests, this is a very important path to pay attention to, because it can be the path of least resistance. When people experience the beauty of churches, we can open up a catechesis that the beauty of the art of the churches exemplifies. And finally, may I focus on the significance of the formation of those who deliver catechesis, catechists themselves. Yes, it's going to be very important, and chapter 6 devotes itself to making sure that catechists are formed in the total teaching of the church contained in the catechism. But most of all, catechists need to be missionary disciples, and be forming missionary disciples of those they're catechizing in an evangelizing way. May I conclude with this image? On March 27, Pope Francis entered into an extraordinary prayer service at St. Peter's Square. A frail, vulnerable, lonely figure entered the square. Exposed to the elements, it was raining, he had no umbrella. And unlike our first parents after the fall, hiding from God and his word, he went to hear God's word. And the word proclaimed was from Mark's Gospel, chapter 4, the storm in the Sea of Galilee. Jesus, who seemed to be asleep in the back of the boat, awakened by the panicked disciples, said to them, "Why are you afraid? Do you not have faith?" Francis spoke that to the world as he meditated on that passage. And he turned to Mary as if to ask Mary both to hear God's message well and respond to it as she did. And she seemed to nudge him to the crucifix of San Marcello, Calvary. He pondered there, prayed there, kissed the feet of the crucified Lord, and then finally moved on to the risen Lord present in the Eucharist. Bowed in adoration, went up and embraced the risen Lord, and then raised the risen Lord in inviting blessing to the whole world, inviting everybody to accept the risen Lord. Wasn't that an extraordinary catechesis that was evangelizing to the whole world? I invite you to pick up the text of the new general directory. Be inspired, be enlightened by its wonderful content.